Well, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed those songs. I'm thankful this evening for the blessings of the Lord. As I sit here tonight and I looked over the congregation as we were all singing, and like Brother Darrell, I've been thoroughly enjoying not just the weather, but this meeting as well. But I just feel like we have received just an outpouring from the Lord of His blessings. Where would you find weather like this in July in Missouri or Oklahoma? You just can't do it, hardly. And you might get it one day, but you get it all week. It's just, and you know, that's the way it's been in this meeting. It's been the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord throughout this meeting. And I know you have. I have just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'll be honest with you, I'd much rather sit right there and enjoy all of this than I would be up here. But I have appreciated all the testimonies of what God has done for His people. The healings, how He spared lives. Sister Roberta, Brother Butch, Brother Keith, there's just so many different ones. And as I've listened to him and I've talked, Brother Bill Day, I don't know if he's here tonight. I was talking to him the other day, and he's been going through a battle, and he was sharing with me how the Lord just met him and gave him a scripture. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, my heart just rejoiced. I know what it's like to be there. And the Lord come down in His presence come down in your life, and he just floods your soul with something. I'm going to tell you, we enjoy the healing, but to me that was more blessed than even just being healed and raised up. If the Lord had just taken me on, just to have the presence of the Lord come down is something rich. And as I've watched and I've listened to the testimonies of those that have gotten saved, some that have been away from the Lord for a long time, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, my heart is rejoiced. I told somebody the other night, I said, I know there's some angels in heaven rejoicing. Because the Lord has come down and He has worked. And it just seemed like this outpouring of the Lord. And I'm just so grateful tonight. My heart, yes, is heavy for some that are still in the battle of affliction. And I'm praying that God will meet them in their furnace as well. That He'll give them something. And dear ones, I want you to know God is able to do that. He is able to meet us right in the midst of the fire, just like He did the three Hebrews. My heart is also burdened this evening for those that are still in the enemy's trap. And those that I see Him working so hard to ensnare. As I looked at these young people up here and I saw them singing, and I heard that song, "We're Giving Up No Ground." I want to encourage you young people, you live that. You make that your motto. Don't give up one ounce of ground to the enemy of your soul. Because once you give him one little piece, he's going to come back for more and more until he's destroyed you. In fact, if you could just sing another verse of that while I write something on the board. Thinking as they were singing that song, just being able to cast our burdens at the feet of the Lord. Dear ones, it's a blessing that you and I have been given to just bring everything that we have and give it to the Lord. It's a place of safety. It's a place of protection. It's a place that you can put your life, You can put your job, you can put everything you have at the feet of the Lord. And when you do that, God will be able to keep that. What does the scripture say? He's able to keep that which I have. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I thank the Lord for that. My burden this evening is, Lord, help us to be on our guard. As I've enjoyed this meeting, and as I'm sure you have, and as I've seen all that the Lord has done and how he's been blessing and he's been working with all of these different souls and saving and sanctifying and healing, it rejoices my soul. But dear ones, I want you to know tonight, we're going to have to be on our guard. Because the enemy of our soul has a plan to destroy each and every one of us. And he will take, if he can, before you even get home, he'll try to rob from you everything that you got. But if you do as the young people saying, and give up no ground, and you fight for this, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God can give you victory over the enemy of your soul. You know, being on our guard is a personal responsibility. It's our responsibility, yes, as the ministers, to watch and to cry out the alarm. But, dear ones, it's a personal responsibility that each one of us have to be on our guard. To keep our guard up, because the enemy is going to come to you and to me. I'd like to start this evening by asking us a question that I'd like for every one of us to consider for just a little bit. How difficult is it for the enemy of your soul and mine to convince us to let down our guard and climb into the vehicle that he has prepared to transport us to our destruction? I'll give you a little background of how the Lord began to talk to me about this message. A couple months ago, I received a text from my son, and it was a picture in the text of a pen that he was building to put on his trailer that he intended to take and haul a couple of hogs that they had raised to the slaughterhouse. And so as we text back and forth, and as I talked to him on the phone, I asked him a question. I said, Matt, how are you going to get those hogs to load up onto that trailer? In my mind, I still remember as a child, Dad had a hog that he was going to haul to the market. And he went over there that morning, it was a Saturday morning, and he backed the truck up to the chute on the barn. And when he did, he got that hog, run it into the pen, and he run it up the cattle chute there. And that's as far as that hog would go. He'd go all the way to the top, but he would not get into that truck. As hard as Dad worked to try to get him in there, that hog would just run past him. He'd get something up there and block it. That hog was determined it was not going to get in that truck. I believe, if I remember right, it finally climbed over the chute and got away. By that time, it was too late to take it to the market. And so he had to wait till the next time for the sale. Well, in the meantime, he had talked to some neighbor men, and he was telling them about it. And they said, you let us know the next time you want to load up that hog. We'll get it in there. Well, I'll never forget. Dad made us boys. We were small. And he made us stay at the house. And I could still remember hearing all the way across that field that hog squealing and grunting and those men hollering as they were poking and prodding. And they were doing everything they could to get that hog in there. But it was determined it was not going to load up into that truck. I can't remember. They talked about they might have to shoot it in order to get it. I think it finally surrendered, but not without a fight. Well, dear ones, when we are facing the enemy, we're going to have a determination we're not going to load up into his vehicle. When I told my son this, and I asked him, I said, how are you going to get that hog to load up? The comment that he said to me was, well, I wasn't intending to try to make it get in there. I'm going to let it load up itself. And so what he did was, after he got the pen built, he backed the trailer into the hog pen. He let down the ramp, put a piece of plywood on it, and he walked over and he got the hog trough that he'd been feeding them in, and he carried it up there, and he put it in the hog pen, in the pen on the trailer. He went back and he got a bucket of feed, and he walked over and he shook that bucket of feed just like when he fed them. And he walked up that ramp, poured it into that trough, and then he walked away. He said immediately one of those hogs walked right up that ramp and started just sitting there eating that food. The other hog went up about partway up the ramp, and it stopped, and it looked around. It knew something wasn't right. And he looked around, and if I remember right, he said it turned as if it was going to go back down the ramp, and then it heard that other hog up there eating the food, and that's all it took. And he went straight up that ramp and began to get his portion. You know, dear ones, Lord, help us. There are things that the enemy has, dear ones, that he wants to influence us, to cause us to get into the vehicle that he has for us. Matt, when he got the hogs loaded, when those hogs, second hog went up there, he raised the ramp. He closed the gate. He snapped a picture and sent it to me, and he said, all loaded and ready to go to the slaughterhouse in the morning. And I sat in there at home, and I was thinking about that. And my mind got to going. And I sent him a text back, and I said, if those hogs had only known where they were headed, you'd have never got them into that vehicle. Well, he sent back and said, sounds like a thought to a message to me. My children tell people, Dad gets a message out of everything that happens. I'm going to tell you, young people, if I pause here for just a minute, let the Lord talk to you through the events of your life. You know, we can go through life like a goose in a hailstorm, so to speak, just dodge. Where's all these things happening? What's happening? But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you'll stop and allow the Lord to talk to you through the normal events of your life, there are valuable life lessons that God has for each one of us. And I want to encourage you, let the Lord talk to you. On your job, whatever it is, in the home, let the Lord talk to you through the things that happen. I'm convinced there's nothing that happens in our life but what God has a purpose. And he wants to teach us something from life. Well, he sent back and he said to me, he said this comment. He said, how easily we board the vehicle that is designed to take us to our demise. Dear ones, I want to ask us tonight, what kind of vehicle has the enemy prepared for you and for me that he is working in every way that he can to get us to board that vehicle in order to take us to our demise? Webster defines a vehicle as an agent of transmission, a carrier, a medium through which something is expressed or achieved, a means of carrying or transporting something. I'm sure every one of us in here know what a vehicle is. We ride in one nearly every day. They transport us from one place to another, wherever we want to go. You know, there are vehicles that are designed for just one or two people, like a motorcycle or a scooter, like some of these golf carts that you see here. And there are vehicles that are designed to transport lots of people at one time. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the enemy of our soul has a whole fleet of vehicles. He's got vehicles that are designed to transport as many people as he can, and he's got vehicles that's designed just for you and just for me. We cannot afford, dear ones, to let down our guard just because lots of other people are thinking or acting or doing what I'm doing or believing. Nor can we let down our guard and assume that just because I'm the only one on this boat like Noah, that everything must be okay. Dear ones, we're going to have to be on our guard because the enemy of our soul has a plan to destroy each and every one of us here tonight. Have you ever heard the expression, don't let them get on their soapbox or their bandwagon? You know what I'm talking about? Do you know sometimes people can get passionate about things? It can be religion. It can be politics. It can be their pet peeves. Do you know you can hear a 30-minute lecture on how a roll of toilet paper has to go on the holder? I'm amazed sometimes at how passionate people are about some things. Now, understand me. There's nothing wrong about being passionate about something. I would to God there were more people that were passionate about living for God. But dear ones, what I want us to get a hold of this evening is that our passion for whatever it is must be perfectly aligned with the principles of the Word of God. If it's not, the enemy of our soul will use those things that we're passionate about to lure us into the vehicle that he has designed to transport us to our destruction. Lord, help us this evening. Do you remember Moses? You remember David? They were passionate about things, weren't they? Their passion got them in trouble. The enemy tried to use the things that they were passionate about to destroy them. What did Webster say? A vehicle was a medium through which something is expressed or achieved. You know, Moses, he was passionate about the work of God. When the people began to murmur and complain, what did he do? In his passion, he struck the rock instead of speaking to it like God told him to do. There's a lot could be said there, but dear ones, I want you to remember something. God is very, very concerned that you and I conduct his work in a manner that he would instruct us to, like he would instruct us to. He's very particular about how we carry out the work of God. David was passionate about the work of God as well. And in his passion, he had the ark of God transported in a manner that was contrary to the instructions that God had given. And dear ones, it cost something. It was a fatal thing that happened. What I want us to understand tonight, dear ones, is Satan is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy every one of us. And he will work with the passions that you and I have, whether they be good or whether they be bad, to use those as a vehicle to transport us to our destruction. Regardless of what our passion is, if it's for the work of God, if it's for the politics of the day, or whatever it is, it must be perfectly aligned with the Word of God, or we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Paul said over there in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, he said, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Dear ones, the enemy of our soul is out to destroy us. And he wants to get you and I in the vehicle that he has prepared. Do you know a vehicle can be a very good thing? Sister Roberta preached us a little message here. No, not in the pulpit. I clarified. She was testifying, but it was a little message that she gave us. And it was on the other part, and I'm glad she did because I don't have time to cover that, of the vehicle that God has for us. But dear ones, a vehicle can be a good thing. When it functions, when it operates, and when it's used as it's intended, it can be a blessing. I'd hate to have to drive from here to Tulsa, leave alone to California, or walk that far, drive a buggy. But dear ones, there are vehicles that are designed to transport us that makes it so much nicer. But when that vehicle malfunctions, or when it is used in a manner that is not intended to be used, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it can be a very destructive thing. The planes that were used on 9/11 are a vivid reminder of that. Do you know those planes were designed like all other planes? They were designed to transport lots of people from one place to another. But on that day, an enemy hijacked those planes and used them for a purpose that they were not intended to be used. Their purpose was to destroy as many people as they could. And unfortunately, they were very successful in their endeavors. But I want you to think about something tonight. There's two questions that we need to think about in something like that happening. Why were they able to be successful? And how did they accomplish their purpose? You know the reason it's important for us to understand those, dear ones, in our government, and they researched it to great lengths? It's because that we have an enemy that wants to destroy our nation. And if we fail to understand the answers to those questions, the enemy will use the same tactic over and over until they have utterly destroyed or broken the will of our nation. Dear ones, that's part of the burden that I have tonight, is that we recognize the tactics that the enemy is using to destroy precious souls. I think about, there's a scripture in John, the 10th chapter. I won't even go there. John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, you know this. Jesus described the intention of the enemy. He said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Dear ones, we have an enemy that is out to destroy us. Our homes, our marriages, our congregations, anything that he can. And I'm going to tell you something. He's been far more successful than those terrorists could have ever dreamed of being. Don't mistake me. Those terrorists, they accomplished a lot. Many people lost their lives. It was a terrible thing. But you know, when I think about that, I am convinced, dear ones, that the people that were on those planes, had they known what the terrorists' plans were, they would have never gotten on those planes. But they didn't, because the enemy worked very subtly in order to accomplish his plan. And dear ones, that's how the enemy is going to work in our lives as well. Do you know what they did? They didn't get on that plane shouting their Allah Akbar or whatever it is that they do, and we're going to destroy this nation. They didn't do that. They got on that plane, and if this was the plane right here, they'd come in and they'd sit down right beside you. They buckled their seatbelts just like you do. But they had a plan to destroy everyone that was on that plane. And dear ones, the enemy of our soul has a plan to destroy each and every one of us tonight. His plan for you is probably different than it is for me. Because we're all different. We have different likes and dislikes. We have different ambitions. We have different passions. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he's got a plan that is tailored for each and every one of us. His purpose and his desire is to take and to destroy as many people as we can. Do you know on 9/11, all the people that died weren't on the same plane? There was a plane hit this building, there was a plane that hit that building, there was a plane that hit the Pentagon, and there was one that went down that was headed to the Capitol. The terrorist had a master plan. And that plan was to destroy as many people as possible and as many symbols of power and institutions in our government as they could. Dear ones, the enemy of our soul has a master plan as well. His plan involves more than just destroying you or me. It's to destroy as many people in here as he can and to bring down as many symbols of power and as many institutions that God created in order to try to hinder precious souls from being able to see the kingdom of God. For example, marriage, families, a loving father, a loving mother. Do you know, dear ones, every one of these things represents something that Satan wants to destroy? When you take marriage, you know marriage is one of the most blessed things that God ever instituted. When you take a couple and you join them as God did, male and female, not young people, children, no matter what you're hearing in our world today, it's not two males. It's not two females. It's not a collective group of people that you're joining with. It's not one after another. One, God intended for this to represent something, dear ones. When you take that union that God instituted and he ordained, and you take them and you put them together, and that love is strong in their hearts, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's hard to break that. Do you know God intended that for a purpose? This union represents Christ and the church. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you get joined with Christ and you're one and the love of God is flowing through that union, it's the most powerful thing that you'll find in this world. All the powers of hell cannot come and destroy that union of a soul and Christ, the church and Christ, when the love of God is flowing like it should be. What did the scripture say? It says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecutions. Nay, in all these things, it said we're more than conquerors. Why? Because the love of God is a powerful force. I try my best when I'm dealing with young people to encourage them, get the love of God down in your heart. Ask God to perfect his love. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it'll give you a power over everything else. When you love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the powers of temptations, the powers of frustrations, of hurts, they all diminish. Why? Because you love something else more than that. It is the secret, dear ones, to overcoming the temptations that are in our world today. And God intended for this union of Christ and the church, this union of a man and woman, to represent something that was sacred, that was powerful. But I'm going to tell you, the world and the enemy is working hard to destroy that. When that union functions as it was designed by God, it brings forth new life. And you see, the word, that wasn't that what God told him? Replenish the earth. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, all these other plans that man has come up with, they don't meet the criteria that God had in his word when he instituted marriage. And when that couple becomes parents, do you know what? A loving father is something that is tremendous. When that loving father, when he's there and he's caring for his companion and his children, providing and protecting them, do you know that represents something that God wanted you and I to understand? A loving heavenly Father that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to provide for every need that we have, dear ones. There's not a thing that you experience in life but what our heavenly Father has that. And that's why he could have made us any way that he wanted us to. We could have reproduced like trees, but that's not how God did it. He had a plan in everything that he did. But I'm going to tell you, it's under attack in our world today. And it comes from the pit of hell. Have you heard the term toxic masculinity? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that comes from the pit of hell. You say, wait a minute, Brother Curtis, there are some men that are not. I'm going to tell you, that also comes from the pit of hell. Dear ones, God intended for us as men, as fathers, to be lined up with the Word of God. To represent the image of God to a lost and dying world. Fathers, men, I want to challenge you this evening. If you're not being what God wants you to be, you're aiding and abetting the enemy in what he is trying to destroy, something that is very sacred. Our heavenly Father, dear ones, Lord, help us. When I was a child, Brother Dan talked about it in his message. Dear ones, God intended for little boys to grow up thinking, my dad can fix anything. I've had my children, my grandchildren say, dad can fix anything. When they bring a broken balloon to you and they want you to fix it, it's a pretty tough thing. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's not a thing that our Heavenly Father can't fix if we'll just bring it to him. But the world is trying to destroy that. When you take a loving mother, that clock's rolling. I'm not going to have time to get to all this. Dear ones, you take a loving mother, though, it's a powerful thing. It's a lovely thing. Not only is she bringing forth those children, but she's nurturing them. She's teaching them. She's caring for them. Oh, she's bringing them up with principles that help them to be able to go out into the world and be a strong man or woman that can lead this world. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is destroying that in our world. You look around, I hear it all the time on the job. People complaining about the younger generation that's coming up and saying, oh, they don't have any work ethics. They don't have, they can't focus. There's so many things. I told somebody here the other day, I said, our saint young people that are being raised like God intended, that have work ethic, they're going to be in high demand in our world today. But I'm going to tell you, Satan is trying to destroy that. You know, the mother represents the church. The mother, you know, God wanted us to recognize as the loving mother cares for that child and she teaches them and she trains them and she brings them up in the fear of the Lord. That's the same thing. That's our responsibility as a church. Do you see, dear ones? Look, all of these are things that Satan is trying hard to destroy. You know those terrorists, they were not content, dear ones, to just bring down that plane with those people on it. They wanted to destroy every element of our society. They went for the throat, so to speak. They went for the institutions of power, things that people looked at. They wanted to bring our nation to its knees. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's what the devil is wanting to do. And unfortunately, what he's doing in our nation today. He has destroyed something that is very vital that God intended for our nation and for the church to proceed, to be able to prosper. I think about the things that the enemy had on 9/11, you know, their plan, not every place that they attacked was the same. Every place was different, and it required a different plan of attack. Dear ones, the devil has a plan of attack to destroy each and every one of us. And just like those terrorists, he's going to work very subtly in order to accomplish his plan. When you leave from this meeting, the devil's not just going to be there and say, all right, I'm taking it all away. He's not just going to come to you. He's going to work in ways very subtly to try to rob your peace and your joy. There's so many things out there, dear ones, that the enemy has got designed to do that very purpose. I think about a scripture over here in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 11th verse. No, 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you know the Apostle Paul was speaking to a people that had been saved? They had experienced the joys of salvation just like you and I, many of us here. But I want you to notice what he said. He said, I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul saw some things that he was concerned about, and he began to warn them, be careful, lest you be beguiled. And then he began to bring in about Eve, how the enemy came in through his subtlety, and he convinced Eve, it's okay to do this. God, you'll not surely die. Have you ever had the enemy talk to you like that? It really doesn't matter. I know that's what the saints teach, but it really doesn't matter. I know that's what so-and-so and what they did, but, you know, God understands your situation. God doesn't require him. That's not what the scripture means. Dear ones, if Satan comes by, any time he tries to convince you to do something that is contrary, I'm going to put it this way, to even one of the principles of truth in the Word of God, you better be on your guard. Regardless of how logical it seems. Do you know, dear ones, I think about the man that put his hand on the ark, what a logical decision that was. Put yourself in that place. Here he was, chosen, probably by the king himself, to transport the ark of God, the most holy, sacred thing among the whole camp of the Israelites. And here he was chosen to transport this before the king and everybody else. And now it comes to a place and hits a hole in the road and the ark begins to tilt. What would you do? Sit there like a knot on a log and watch as the holy ark of God teeters and falls off and breaks apart and the Ten Commandments, those sacred vessels of God, fall into the dirt? I can almost hear that man say, not on my watch. I'm not going to have it. Do you know, dear ones, if he had of, do you know the pressure that would have been exerted upon him? They probably would have stoned him. What were you thinking? This is the ark of God. But God said, don't touch it. God would have understood. You think he wants his word laying in the dirt? But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God didn't understand. And he will not understand our disobediences either, regardless of how widely accepted it is. Do you know, dear ones, when you get to a place and you say, well, everybody's doing this, I want to remind you of Noah, of Daniel, of the three Hebrews. Do you realize in Noah's time he was one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord? In Daniel's time, in the three Hebrews' time, they were the only ones that refused to drink the king's wine and eat his meat. They were the only ones that refused to bow to the idols that the king had. Dear ones, you and I are going to have to take and stand against the things of this old world that the enemy is using to destroy souls, regardless of how widely accepted it is and regardless of who's promoting it. Do you know, David was the king of Israel and he was the one that came up with the plan to transport the ark the way he did? Well, surely this is David. This is a man after God's own heart. Surely it's okay. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, David was human just like you and I. Regardless of who's behind it, we're going to have to measure our life by the principles of the Word of God. I think about Peter. You know, Peter, he got carried away. He was an emotional person. And he got carried away in the service with the people. And the Apostle Paul came on and said, wait a minute, Peter, you can't do this. This is not right. Do you know Peter could have risen up and said, now, Paul, what do you mean? I'm one of the original apostles. I'm one of the original disciples. You're a latecomer here, and you're talking to me like this? Peter didn't do that, did he? He humbled himself. Dear ones, this is one of the things that should differentiate us from all the other people out there, is the humility of Christ in our midst. Do you realize spiritual pride is a vehicle that the enemy will use to transport us to our destruction if he can get us on it? I think about what Paul said over there in Galatians, the first chapter. Lord, help us. In Galatians, the first chapter, in the 8th verse, he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Dear ones, I want to say it again. If it's something that contradicts with even one of the principles of truth in the Word of God, we better be on our guard. Regardless of how widely accepted it is, regardless of who promoting it or how logical it is, because the enemy is out to destroy us just like he did Eve. When you look at it, I don't know what you think about Eve. I am convinced, dear ones, Eve would have never gotten on board, so to speak, with the plan that the enemy had she known where it was going to go. But like those people on those planes, she didn't know because the enemy worked subtly. Dear ones, young people, this applies to all of us. Us older ones should know this. But young people, I want to give you something this evening. If your desire for spiritual things or your zeal or passion for the work of the Lord begins to take you down a path that is contrary to the principles of truth in the Word of God, you better be on your guard. Because the enemy is out to destroy you. I think about what Paul said. He said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, we should be corrupted through the simplicity that is in the gospel. I'm not quoting it exactly, but you know what I'm saying. Dear ones, whether our passion is for the work of God, whether it's for anything else, it must line up with the Word of God, the principles of truth in the Word of God. The enemy is out to try to deceive us just like he did Eve. And he will use things that appeal to our desires, just like he did Eve. You know, Satan knew Eve's desire to be more like God. And so he appealed to that desire, and he convinced her, if you'll do what I'm asking you to do, you'll be more like God. But dear ones, we know what happened. It caused her to disobey the Word of God. And it brought heartache into her life. And it'll do the same for us. Dear ones, Eve is not the only one that has been deceived by the enemy of her soul. There have been multitudes down through time that the enemy has come in and deceived. Some of those, just like sitting right here, had a desire to go to heaven. I believe every one of us in here, no doubt, have a desire to go to heaven. Why would you be here otherwise? But dear ones, the enemy used. Some of those were ministers, Sunday school teachers. There were people that desired, they dug into the Word of God. They studied. They got a great, deep knowledge of truth. But you know what happened? The enemy come along and hijacked that vehicle. And it was the means that brought them to their destruction. Dear ones, my heart is heavy tonight because I know the devil has people in those traps. And I know he's out to work to destroy every one of us. I want to say to the young people tonight, be very, very careful. What you allow your affections and desires to go out to, and what you allow to feed those desires. When the Lord started talking to me about this message, it was about that time I read a story of a young lady. She was a college student back east, I believe it was. She went out one evening to celebrate with her friends. I don't know what it was, maybe just enjoying life. And they went to some kind of a club. And while they were there, they had been there about 2 or 2:30 in the morning. She decided it was time she needed to go home. And so she went out and she got into a vehicle that she thought was her Uber driver to take her home. But it was somebody with a different plan. By the time that she realized that she had gotten into a vehicle that the enemy had designed to transport her to her destruction, it was too late. He had activated the child locks and the rear doors and she couldn't get out. Somehow he must have got her cell phone. And unfortunately, it was several days before they found her body out in the woods, way away. You know, the question when something like that happens is, why did she get in that vehicle? It's a question that we may never know the answer to. But as I listened to that and I thought about it, I thought, you know, no doubt she probably, while she was there having a good time, had a few drinks. Something to kind of break down, you know, let your hair down, so to speak. You know, just loosen up. You can have a good time. And no doubt she had a few drinks, and as she did, no doubt those things helped to dull her senses to where she wasn't as alert to trouble as she might otherwise have been. And so she failed to recognize the plan that the enemy had to destroy her. Dear ones, Lord, help us this evening to be on our guard. You say, Brother Curtis, I never intend to go to a club. I never intend to drink. So that's not going to be me. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you drink of the wine of this world, it'll do the same thing. Do you know, dear ones, Satan has many things designed to do the very same thing. To dull your senses. To dim your vision. To distract you in order to get you to let down your guard and climb into the vehicle that he has prepared to transport you to your destruction. You know the enemy, I said he has lots of vehicles. He's got a whole fleet of them. He's got lots of sports cars. He'll paint them in any color you want. Crimson, orange, red, black. You know what I'm talking about. Anything to fill your time and cause you to fail to recognize what he's doing is trying to distract you from your soul's need. He's got buses that are filled with people with good intentions, doing good works, that have a testimony, I'm living for God. But I'm going to tell you, there's one thing that's wrong with that bus. It's on the wrong road. It's on the Broadway. It's too big to fit down the straight and narrow path. Because they've accepted so many things that the Word of God has said, you can't do that. It will never fit on that narrow way. But yet they're on there, and you can get on that bus. If your intention is to be religious, to be able to go out and to work for God, he's got a bus for that as well. Dear ones, he's got a whole fleet of ambulances. You say, well, why do you want those for? If you're a person that is inclined to be hurt or offended, he'll send an ambulance to pick you up, and he'll nurse you all the way to your destruction. Dear ones, he's got any kind of vehicle that you can imagine. And those vehicles are designed to appeal to your desire, to your passion, to whatever it is that you're facing in life. And when you climb into that vehicle and you think everything's well, do you know what he'll do? Is he'll take and he'll appeal to your desires just like Matt did to those hogs. He took that feed and he took it there and he poured it in. What's wrong with feed? Do you see what I'm saying? The devil's got a lot of feed. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But just like Matt's intent was to get them loaded so he could take them to the slaughterhouse, the devil has a purpose in everything that he brings. You say, well, this was a good thing that the Lord brought. But I'm going to tell you, It wasn't the Lord. The devil has something to destroy your soul. I think about that hog that went partway up the ramp. Do you know he knew something was wrong? But he let his desire for something override his fear. And it ended up causing him to board the vehicle that transported him to the slaughterhouse. Do you know, dear ones, Eve knew what Satan was trying to get her to do was wrong. But she let her desire for something overpower that. And as a result, she found herself disobeying the word of God. Dear ones, I'm going to quit. But my burden tonight is, Lord, help us to be on our guard. I value what we've had here in this meeting. I value the dealings of the Spirit of God. I value the healings and all the other things that God has given us. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we better be on our guard because Satan is out to destroy. He's out to steal it from you and I. And he's out to get us on board his vehicle that is designed to take us to our destruction. My question to you tonight, again, is how difficult is it for the enemy of your soul and of mine to convince us to let down our guard and board the vehicle that he's designed to transport us to our destruction? The second thing I want you to remember is, what is the vehicle that the enemy has prepared for you and for me? Dear ones, there's not a one of us in here that's exempt. From the preacher to the one that's newest saved, from the youngest to the oldest, there is not a single one of us in here that are exempt. The devil is out for our soul. The songwriter said, my soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise to draw thee from the skies. If you could get a picture of a saint of God that has lived faithful all their life, as they're about to depart from this life, and you could get a picture, 10,000 foes, if it were possible to draw them from the skies. That's how desperate the enemy is to destroy each and every one of us. He will not give up on you until you and I part this life and there's no more that he can do. But as long as we're in this life, dear ones, he has a vehicle prepared. And if we are not on our guard, that thing will be the means of our destruction. Appreciate your attention this evening.